This episode of Behind the Puck may contain material that would get you a game misconduct, so listener discretion is suggested. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special edition of the PVD cast called Behind the Puck. I am your host, John Orlando, and on this installment, we're going to tackle the topic of fighting. Why do players fight? What is the fear that goes through a player's mind before they get into the fisticuffs? Like, what's the psychology behind the fight? Well, Brian Phillips and I are going to get the blow-by-blow details from our panel. Yeah, see what I did there? Anyways, and that panel consists of course, former Columbus Blue Jackets, RJ Umberger, Sean Pronger, who will be calling in from the West Coast, and also joining the panel will be a man that's had a fight or two in the NHL, Mr. Jody Shelley. So we're going to cover all the different angles to the topic of fighting, and we're also going to get an update from Steph Grieger on the third period, and also see how fighting fits into the film. So it's going to be a long episode. I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about fighting with Behind the Puck, Episode 2.
Welcome to Behind the Puck, the hockey podcast that grew out of our discussions with Steph Grieger, the director and producer of the movie, The Third Period. And just before we're done tonight, John, we're going to get an update on some exciting news from Steph.
Very exciting news.
As far as the development of the film. But one of the aspects in any hockey movie would be fighting. And without any spoilers, we wanted to talk about fighting tonight and then tie it into the movie. And since I've never been in a fight in my life, I mean, look at me. I mean, the nose looks like I have been in a fight. I punched a guy in a soccer game when I was 12 once and I got a yellow card. I punched him in the back as he took me down. That's as close as I've ever gotten to being in a fight. I mean, look at me. I'm like 150 pounds wet. I would have gotten killed. I wouldn't be here with you today. John, you ever been in a fight?
I'm probably a playground scrap.
Yeah, probably.
I can think of one.
This is a pathetic conversation.
Yes, this is.
It's a good thing.
Stop and let's introduce the quote unquote experts, if you will.
All right, we're going to work our way up the ladder here. A veteran of 11 professional hockey seasons, the pride of Bowling Green State University, the author of Journeyman, a man of letters, perhaps not fisticuffs. We'll find out. On the line from Anaheim, California, is Sean Pronger. How are you, Sean?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Are you a lover or a fighter or both?
Sadly, I think I'm neither. I'm definitely not a fighter, and I don't think I'm a lover. So, yeah, is there a third choice?
All right. Well, we do have some evidence saved up that you were in at least one scrap on the ice. As it seems that YouTube has turned into the Library of Congress of hockey fights. Any fight that you guys were in, whether you remember it or not, we can find it. But we're going to get to our other guests, and we're going to dredge up proud moments and maybe not so proud moments. Former Blue Jacket and Philadelphia Flyer and soon to be in the Ohio State Athletics Hall of Fame, RJ Umberger is with us.
Thanks for having me back again.
Put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 as a fighter when you were in the league.
Ooh, 1 to 10, like negative 3.
Negative 3. So you weren't looking for it.
Yeah, I was probably like a 2 or 3, actually. I fought a couple times, but it's nothing I made a career out of.
Well, I don't think we would have much of a podcast here on Behind the Puck about fighting unless we turn to an expert on the subject, a veteran of 12 NHL seasons with the Blue Jackets, the Sharks, the Rangers, the Flyers. He now works and does such outstanding work with Fox Sports Ohio as an analyst for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jody Shelley. Jody Shelley, a doctorate in fighting. Is that fair?
I would say, yeah, probably. I've had a few stitches in the face.
All right. Well, we'll get to the pain. But I've always been fascinated by the sociology, if you will, of a hockey fight, because as a person who has watched hockey his entire life, I think that was the part that always fascinated me. because to me, if you get in a fight with someone, it's because you're really mad or you hate them or they took something from you. But in hockey, it's a little more complicated than that, isn't it?
I guess it can be. Yeah, first of all, it makes no sense, right? Is that what you're saying?
It has to make sense because I've been told my entire life watching hockey that it's an important part of the game. Sometimes your team needs a lift, and it's up to you as the man that's dropping the gloves to provide that lift. It's to enforce the unspoken rules of the game, and if the referees are not controlling the game, then you take control of the game. Am I on the right track?
Yeah, here? Yeah, you're close. I mean, so yeah, it's all of that, but it all comes down to you're an ultimate team guy. You're a fourth line guy with minimal minutes. You understand your role on the team, and you try to provide a guy with skill or a guy that might be a little timid, an easy playground to play on.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So you're walking onto the playground.
Yes.
And maybe there's the guys are getting up a game of kickball or something. And somebody's being mean to your friend. And he
doesn't happen.
So you make sure that they're not mean to your friend anymore in the playground. Right. So the rink is the playground. Is that fair, RJ?
Absolutely, yeah.
Did you have someone that protected you on the playground?
Yeah, definitely.
Who were some of the guys?
Donald Brashear in Philadelphia. Yeah. I don't think anybody messed around with anybody when he was on the ice. So it was good having him there. And, you know, guys like, Jared Boll.
Yeah.
You know, not the biggest guy, but he was one of the toughest pound for pound in the league. So when he was on the ice or on your team, you knew you had somebody had your back at all times, and it was fun to have him.
Sean Pronger, were you on a team long enough to have someone that thought that highly of you to have your back when you were out there?
That was a little harsh. You are hurting my feelings. You are hurting. Unfortunately, I was never the skill guy or the high draft pick guy, so I was left a lot of times to fend for myself. However, I did have the good fortune of playing on a lot of times on the fourth line, and usually what that comes with is you get to play with guys like Jody Shelley, who got your back. So I don't know if Jody's job was necessarily to protect me, but he certainly indirectly made my life a lot easier when we played together. I just think of this Stu Grimson line. When he was asked what his role was, he's like, "My role is to provide a safe working environment." Perfect.
So true.
So it's like you guys work together at a factory, and they put up the sign. I worked in a paper mill when I was in college, and they had the sign like, "How many days since we've had an accident where someone fell into a pit or something?" And if the number was high, you felt good. It was like it's a safe working environment. So it's sort of like you're in a factory, and you're the safety guy, making sure that everybody's safe.
Everyone feels good, and there's the other dynamic of 18,000 fans at Nationwide Arena. It's a Friday night, and you're down 2-0 in the first 3 minutes, and all the emotion has gone from the building. You want to get out there and get stuff fired up, you know, let the other team know that your team isn't going to lie down. So you pick out the tough guy on the other team, and you go ask him to fight politely. And then
how would you go back? Let's go there.
I think in that scenario,
somebody you fought a lot.
Yeah.
How would you have this conversation with
him? Well, it'd be very brief because he would know at that point that I was coming.
Uh-huh.
And if the score was reversed, I would know that he would come. So some nights I'd be hoping that the score would stay close, or he would, because if it gets out of hand,
I got you.
We come knocking on each other's doors, and usually you have to oblige. And when you do oblige, and so say he says, "Okay, I'll fight you."
Okay.
Then we fight, and our crowd is back in it, and then our team scores a goal. Woohoo! We've done our job.
Were you ever turned down?
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to ask.
Guys have done that.
Do you lose credibility?
A little bit.
I assume.
Especially if you really want to fight them, you make everyone know. You got to make sure. This is a little bit of a strategy. Think about this now. If you want everyone to know that you're asking to fight, if you just whisper in his ear and he just goes like this, no, I'm not fighting, then you don't really want to fight him. But if you really want to fight him, you make sure everyone in the building is like, come on, you got to fight him. And you really challenge him and back off. That's what I tried to do. If I really wanted to fight, if I didn't, I would just kind of whisper, "Hey, RJ, you want to go?" And RJ said, "No, no, not now." I go back to the bench, and the guys would be like, "Did you ask him to go?" And I'd say, "Oh yeah, I asked him. He doesn't want to go." So you gotta like really show it up if you want to go.
As a teammate, when that happens, it's you know what's going on a lot of times because, you know, like you said, 2-0 in the first 3 minutes, and all of a sudden, you know who's in the next line out. The coach kind of gives a little tap, looks at you, and you know there goes Jody or Jared or whoever it is, and
to score a goal.
Yeah, you know, opening center ice faceoff from after a goal. You know, they're going out there for a reason, and it's, you know, usually just to get something going. And you know, on the bench as a teammate, you're sitting there going, "Here it comes, all right." And then, you know, next thing you know, everybody's fired up and things turn. So
that's one dynamic of it.
Yeah.
And the other one is keeping things clean and safe and making sure that, you know, all your guys understand that, hey, Donald Brashear is out there and he's going to be hitting guys tonight or most nights. But tonight, it's not going to happen. So even if I address him early in warm up or say, "Tonight's not your night," then, you know, at least our guys know, "Ooh, yeah, you know, Jody's out there and he's going to probably get beat up, but that's fine. We're fine with that." As long as we don't get beat up.
So I'm thinking of a guy like, I don't know, not to name names, but Sidney Crosby is an annoying little twerp. It seems to me that as a superstar player, he takes it upon himself to get under other players' skin, knowing that he's not necessarily going to be the guy to fight. Do you ever, as a player, make a run at a star player to fight them? Or is that like off limits?
First of all, I like Crosby. I like Sidney. I think he's awesome.
Okay, as a fan, I don't like him, but that's...
I think he's awesome.
Okay. He's an awesome player.
And if he had someone on his team that wouldn't fight me and I had to get a fight in, then I would tell the guy, "All right, if you don't want to go, I'll take a run at your star."
Okay. Up in the end.
At Sidney, yeah. I'll say, you know, because that's your job. So what you're saying is, no, you're not going to oblige my request, so I will take this to someone else, then you'll have to fight. But no, I would never go after, I wouldn't take a run at him just to take a run at him. It'd probably just to get under the skin of the other guy who I would like to fight.
Sean, what's a thing that happens on the ice that has to be answered with a fight? What are some things that another player may do knowingly or unknowingly that has to be answered with fisticuffs?
I mean, it's different now, but I think back in the day, in years past, you know, any type of cheap shot, I think, would be answered. And any type of, you know, like Jody was saying, if Jody went after a star player without anything else happening, that would have to be answered. Or if anybody was taking advantage of a star player in different situations, that would have to be addressed. And so, it always depends on the time of year, if it's a playoff, you know, that kind of stuff, but... usually you don't want your star players having to look over their shoulder. You don't want guys thinking they can take advantage of anybody else on your team. There's one thing for the clean hits to happen and those do, but when people are taking liberties, I think that has to be answered for.
I will say, as a follow-up, that Sean is not the only pronger that's played in the National Hockey League. So his little brother played in Anaheim.
Never heard of
him. Played in Anaheim, and I would go out after his brother and try to get him, just kind of bother him a little bit. And I would turn around and George Peros would be looking at me with his mustache and say, "Shells, you can't do that. We got to go." Because Randy Carlisle would send him out immediately. So that's what happens when you pick on the star player. And I knew George would be coming out. And that's sometimes how you get things going.
Did you ever get a chance, though? Like, in other words, you're picking on the wrong guy. Would they go, "Hey, if you do that one more time," or is it like, "That's it, we got to go"? There's no
it's usually just go. I mean, for the star players, the guy on the, you want the star player to understand that that isn't going to happen. Like one time when I was in San Jose, Steve Ott fought Joe Thornton. And I'm on the bench losing, you know, Steve Ott was one of the best pests in the National Hockey League of our time. And he fought Joe Thornton, and Joe Thornton shouldn't be fighting Steve Ott. So when Steve Ott got back on the ice, I stood up and I said to our coach, "I'm going right now." And he was like, what? And I said, "I'm going." So I went out, I threw the gloves off and I grabbed Steve Ott and I didn't really get much on because he turtled. But
He
just tried to jump under the ice. And so the message was sent to Steve Ott that you don't mess with Joe Thornton. And it was sent to Joe Thornton that no one's going to mess with you. And then everyone on the bench is like, yes. It actually ended up being five or six guys got kicked out in a row right after that because Dallas then retaliated and then we retaliated, which is a fun scenario too when you're in the locker room after a line brawl and you're just like, you got blood coming out of your forehead. And then someone else walks through the door and you're like, oh, what'd you do?
Man, that's where it kind of turns into slap shot.
A little bit.
Well, didn't we have a video queued up before we got started where two of you got run? It was you, Sean, and you, Jody, right? When you were playing for the Blue Jackets? How did that go down? Do you remember, Sean?
I don't remember how Jody and Odeline started fighting. I think that was everybody, the entire crowd was waiting for that to happen. It finally went, and I can't remember what happened, why I ended up getting in the fight. I honestly can't remember how it started, but I was actually in a very advantageous position. And I had a buddy in the stands. I'm like, you know what? Why not? So I'm like, just try to egg the guy on and just drop his gloves. And like, I already have my gloves off. So, I mean, I was kind of a dick move by me. But
you were fired up. You were fired up, Bronx.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly why we got in that tangled up like that.
So who went first? Did you go first or did Jody go first?
I think
first?
I went first.
No, Jody. Yeah. Oh, Jody went first. He was the main. We put the undercard last. the heavyweight went first, and then I just in a spot.
And it was a lopsided game. It was 5-1 Chicago in the second period, so it fits the scenario that we were talking about earlier about trying to turn the momentum in a lopsided game.
There's nothing worse than the game being lopsided and you don't have any like heavyweights. I've been in situations where in the minors where we're winning like 5-1. We're playing against Hershey. We've got probably two or three like middleweights on our team, and Hershey has about 9 heavyweights. It's like, oh my God, we scored again. And it's like as the score is getting more and more out of hand. We're all like, oh, I think I sprained my ankle. I don't know if I can go out there. Like, we could barely get guys to go out on the ice. And would you stop scoring goals? Because it's the worst feeling in the world when you go out there and you got. I mean, there was like Jason Bowen, Clayton Norris, Dan Kordick, Phil Crow. They're just licking their chops, waiting for these middleweights to come out there and just got pounded. But yeah, they cannot have somebody like Jody out there to keep the peace. It gets ugly really fast if you don't keep the score close.
Well, thanks to the internet, Sean, we actually have one of these fights here that we just spoke about from February 15th of 2003, where it is Lyle Oderline versus Jody Shelley, and then Steve McCarthy taking on you. So shall we take a look at this little clip?
Jody, when we're done with this, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're fighting a former teammate here, right? Did you guys ever actually?
I mean, one of the great. This guy, Lyle Oderline, was probably the nicest. He couldn't have been nicer to me. He was our first captain. He was like a father figure to me in the locker room. It was amazing how great he was to me. He's still one of the greatest people I've met in hockey.
So this is kind of like corporal punishment, right?
It was awkward. I really didn't want this to happen.
All right, it's dad fighting son in February of 2003. Let's take a look.
Deal a whack to Van Etten. Now Oderline, Shelley are going to have a go. Well, Shelley was challenging Fleury, upset about the pack.
All right, you both sort of got a hold of each other. It's like a dance. Do you talk to each other when you do this?
No, not right now. We're just...
Well, you got in some good shots.
Trying
there.
To figure out... If this is for real, that's what I was trying to think.
Do you remember did you start it? Did he start it?
Listen, when you make eye contact with someone on the ice, it usually means you're going to go.
And this is a line fight now, right?
It's a line brawl, yeah.
Yeah, and that's very serious. You get thrown out of the game for this.
Yeah, there's Mr. Pronger.
There's Sean Pronger with Steve McCarthy. And Oderline is being escorted to the room.
See how loyal Prong's there. He could really hurt. He could throw that right at McCarthy, who's not ready.
We just tore his helmet off. Now he's hitting him.
Oh my!
Oh.
Fans just love it.
going crazy right now.
Hey, I'm gonna give a tip of the hat to Sean for that fight.
That was a good fight, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm banging my pen on the table like a hockey stick here.
All right, well, let's take a look, RJ, at one of your fights from February 6, 2010 against Drew Stafford. This was Buffalo, when Drew was with Buffalo. So let's roll the clip, if we can, and take a look.
Look at the score.
It's 4-0 CBJ.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He took his hat off for you right away. So you take your hat off. You should have left your helmet on. What were you thinking?
Probably smarter for him.
Showing respect there.
Yeah, respect. So he gets me hard right there.
Oh! That's a good one, RJ.
RJ is so big and strong, too.
Down and up.
I mean, it's got to be exhausting.
Yeah,
it is. One of the good things about a lot of my fights, they were quick. So, one of the reasons why I wasn't a very good fighter is I lost my balance a lot. You know, strength and everything was fine. I just, I would fall a lot. And I kind of never taught, you know, properly how to fight or anything. So,
that's a good point. Is this something that's worked on in practice? How do you work on it?
You work at it.
Yeah.
That would be part of my summer.
Yeah.
I mean, who would you fight?
I would take boxing.
Okay.
Watch
that makes
video.
Sense. Yeah.
Do things that he wouldn't do and strategize.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't do much of that. And my fights would fall quick, you know, so they didn't last long. But that particular fight there, that was one of my longest ones. And I remember being in a penalty box for that whole 5 minutes and, like, I could not breathe whatsoever.
Already to throw
new muscles in your arms, right? Yeah.
Wow. Jody, I have a question because I heard this a long time ago. And as a fan, I was told that a lot of times those folks that are fighters in the league, they start off in junior hockey as being pretty good players. You know, that they're scoring or they're getting lots of assists. And then when they get that call up to the NHL, they can't, quote unquote, hang with those folks scoring goals and whatnot. And so then they try to find a new role for themselves. And that's how fighters are kind of born, if you will, in the NHL. Is that true?
Yeah,
or is that just a bunch
totally
of malarkey?
True. Yeah, it's opportunity. It creates an opportunity. That's really how I started fighting. I, like you, I think I was in one altercation in soccer when I was 17. And then when I was 18, I went to a junior training camp. But before that, I was scoring goals.
Okay.
And
You don't get to the league without having a great amount of skill. And I think that's something that's lost on people is you can't just show up in the NHL and not be able to handle a stick and skate and do all those skill things that you need to do. I don't care who
fight.
You are.
And my opportunity came in junior when I found a way to leave an impression by fighting a guy. And I'd never been in a fight in my life. So that...
How'd you do
that? I did well enough to get noticed and not get... the lights didn't go out on me, so that was good. And then I just kept going. And you're right. The higher you get, the more you have to specialize. You just have to realize that your vehicle for us was to make that my number one job. So I did.
I grew up out west, and when I lived in the Seattle area, I used to go to WHL games all the time. And maybe the other junior leagues weren't like this, but I remember just the most horrific bench-clearing brawls with these 17-year-old kids filled with hormones and God knows what else. And, I mean, there was a lot of – even with the very skilled players, I remember seeing
it was crazy
brawls.
Back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was reputation.
Am I onto something here? Like just teenage boys
all
with a lot of
leagues.
Energy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
OHL, Quebec League, it was all like that. We were going out there to hurt each other at that point. It was like – and then the coaches were saying, like, you're getting embarrassed as a team. And you'd be in there being like, oh, we know what this means. It's a test of character for everyone. So then if you're the last – if there's a line brawl and you're the guy sitting on the bench, ooh, that's not a good feeling.
Oh, yeah, you got to go over the wall.
You got to get over there.
So last time that we spoke to RJ and Sean, we talked about trades. And so, Jody, I wanted to know, let's say sometime in your career a trade has happened, a guy that you fought a month ago or 2 weeks ago or last season now is
that's
your teammate.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, how do you mend that fence?
There's no talk about it.
Okay.
It's just
it's water
just
under the bridge.
A smile and a handshake and welcome.
Okay.
It's really it's so unique and it's just it's weird. It's strange. I mean, I've had a fight with a guy and been at the bar afterwards getting a healthy meal. and having a good conversation with him about nothing to do with the fight. Actually, it was Donald Brashear. And he was eating sushi. I went up and said, "Hey, Donald, how you doing?" "Oh, good. How you doing?" We had just fought like probably an hour and a half before.
See, this is just like some mutual respect. This is the thing we were talking about. Do you guys remember the Looney Tunes cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
The sheepdog and the wolf?
Yeah.
And they're walking to the forest. And they're going, "Hey, how you doing, Ralph? How you doing? How you doing? How's the kids?" And then they clock in at a tree, and then they chase each other and try to destroy each other the entire workday. And then they clock out. Is that what it's like?
Yeah, it's part of your job. It's part of your, you're part of your team. I'm part of mine.
So it's like an hour and a half after you fight, it's like, "Oh, how's the family?" You know?
And I'm trying to knock your block off. And I know you're trying to knock mine off. And you're giving me your best, and I'm giving you my best. But at the end of the day, we're both glad it's over, and you know what? We move on.
All right, Sean, in your career, at any level, who was the guy that, as a fighter, and you didn't have to, you know, I know you didn't do as much fighting as Jody did. Few people did as much fighting as Jody did. But was there somebody that everybody was like, "Oh, my God, this person, this guy is, you do not mess with him." Everyone was terrified of him. Can you think of somebody?
Well, I think, I mean, I was terrified of a lot of guys, but there was, I mean, George the Rock was pretty dangerous, but he, the thing with him, he was like almost too nice. He's very polite out there. Like he, if he wanted to, he could just be a menace, but he'd always, I don't think he was that effective in his role. Like Jody, I felt like, you know, like he'd go after a Chris Pronger and annoy him and try to throw guys off their games where the Rock wouldn't. But it, like when he got in a fight, he was dangerous. Like Ty Domi was another guy. Thank God I never had to fight that guy. And then the other was Bob Probert. When I was like a rookie in Anaheim, I took one too many swipes at the puck when their goalie had it. And so I just saw this guy coming out of my left side, like flying at me. And I just kind of made it like I didn't see him. And at last minute, I kind of backed out of the pile and then turned my back and just kind of went to the bench for a change. And I'm like, he didn't know I saw him, but like he was like coming to kill me, and then he just couldn't get back to me in time before I got like the ref in the way. I just kind of like made it like nonchalant, but I mean, Probert would have been a guy. And I remember Jody, didn't you have like three fights against him in Chicago?
Yeah.
Three in one game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was
three in one game.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Jody, didn't you have like three fights against him in Chicago or something like that?
Yeah.
It was like three in one game, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
he was another guy. I played him in the early 90s or mid 90s. I played against him in Detroit too.
He was tough.
So why did you fight Bob Probert three times in one game? Couldn't you have settled it the first time around?
Well, you would think so, but I didn't even want to ask him to fight. But I asked him to fight. And
hey, Jody, you beat him the first time. That's probably what happened.
I beat him the second time. The first time I fell down and wasn't happy. And if I had a fight, I always said to the guy, if I didn't win, I'd always say, "We're going again. We're not done." So it's in the first period. So I was like, I didn't want him to think I'm done. You know, and I'm jacked up still because, you know, it didn't go great. So I said to him, "We're going to go again. Like, we're going again." I was yelling it the whole way to the box. That was the first period. Second period, I play a shift against him late in the period. And I get a great grab on him and I beat him up. I cut him open. This is only the second period. So I have to go to the locker room. I'm in the locker room, and I'm like, "Oh, no. I got it." Like, third period. The guys come off the ice. They're like, "Oh, you just beat up Bob Probert." I'm like, "No."
No, I didn't.
It didn't happen. So third period comes, and Dave King, I'll never forget it. Dave King goes, "Jody, get out there." And I'm like, "All right." And Dave's got a very high voice. He says, but don't fight him. I'm like, "Oh, Dave, I got to fight him."
Yeah, don't put me out there.
And he goes,
"Get out there and score a goal."
He wants to kill me. He goes, "Well, don't take an extra 2-minute penalty." I'm like, "Okay, that's no problem." So I go out, and Probert is ready to go. He's a left winger. His right winger already sees, and I'm left winger, so we're on opposites, but his right winger already sees that I'm coming. He looks over. So he just starts skating towards Probert. Probert comes over. This is off a face-off. And drops the gloves, fights again, and three times in one game. But the worst part about it is we played them two nights later. So the first period, the media got a hold of it. So two nights later, I had to fight him again. And I thought I was going to die. Prongs is right. He was a scary man. When I asked him the first time, I remember hearing my voice, because it was an internal struggle.
The game was on coast to coast in Canada, so I knew all my buddies were watching. And I was like, no, I'll just wait to ask him. And then I heard my voice say, do you want to go? And I'm like, no. And I saw the words hit him. He looked right through me, and he said, I don't care.
Let her die.
So that brings up an interesting thing I've always wondered about, you know, guys that knew their role of being fighting. Like, yeah, 2 games later, you're playing them, or 2 days later, or whatever, and you know he's going to fight again. Like, how do you feel going into that, like, that day before, or that, you know, pregame nap the day of, or sitting in the locker room an hour before the game? Like, you know you're fighting a certain guy that day, this game. Like, how'd you feel?
You know what? I would never let myself get overrun with nerves. I always played myself to the underdog. I could have never been the toughest in the league, the champ. I think that would have been the hardest job. I wouldn't want that, to try to go undefeated every time. I didn't mind losing a fight. And it was I honestly was so appreciative to be a part of the team and to be a part of it. My nerves would start to bubble, and I'd always flush them out a thought of appreciation or stupidity. I don't know what it was, but I always just stayed ahead of it a little bit. I always slept well. I always slept well day of the game. I just always thought the worst that can go wrong is not going to go wrong. I'm going to give it my best. And, you know, hopefully he's way more anxious than I am. And then going into the fights, I said this the other day to someone, the anxiety going in is always way worse than the fight.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I agree. I've had probably 2 fights going into I knew was going to happen that day. And, you know, you're right. The anxiety going into it just really was hard to handle compared to the actual fight. It was over so quick. It was done. Nothing happened. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, Sean.
Good question.
What is a line that a player should not cross in terms of fighting etiquette? And have you seen or did you experience someone crossing that line, whatever it is, if it exists?
That's a good question. I think when the refs jump in, they try to do a good job, but sometimes they get a hold of one guy more than the other guy. I think it's kind of deep if you like. I mean, I know you're fired up and you just want to kill the guy, but I think maybe you don't take the shot. But I think it was Jim Cummins, and I can't remember who he did. It might have been like Rob Niedermeyer, but the ref basically had, whoever he was fighting, had both arms down by their sides, kind of tied up, and Cummins just exploded the guy's face. So I think that might be one. Maybe, and, you know, if the guy's vulnerable and you've already knocked him to the ground, I think it's over. But I mean, again, it's hard when you're just, especially if you're mad. Like a lot of fights, you're not mad. You're just doing it to change the momentum. You know, if you're just doing that, and once the guy goes down, that's kind of over with. I mean, I can't really say I saw guys do anything like that was out of line. Like, I'm trying to think if there's any. Joe, did you remember anything like?
I don't like when the guys celebrate after a fight that's not really. It's just a fight. Like, it's not like you really beat me up, but I had a couple guys celebrate on me. It's like, come on, man.
Most of the time, that doesn't happen because you're too tired.
Well, unless you're really jacked up. But I will say, in that Pronger fight, the Probert fight, after the third fight, the refs are on top of me. And if you look at the YouTube video, you see me slip a punch while I'm on my back. And I get asked sometimes, why did you punch him after you were down? Well, he had his thumb in my eye socket, and he was gouging my eye out. And I could see his eyes between the two refs, and I'm on my back. So as this is happening, I'm like, so I slip my right up and get him right on the nose, and I see him come back to earth, Bob Probert. He's like, wow, what are you doing? And I was like, dude, you're gouging my eye out. He goes, oh, sorry about that. And walked away. So, you know, sometimes that extra punch, Bronx, guys are still in the moment, fired up, and it's...
Totally. I totally get it.
Well, he was sort of a really troubled person, as we found out.
I heard he was
in.
A great teammate. Awesome guy.
Yeah, but he was really more complicated than you think, and he had a lot of problems off the ice. But it wasn't just, well, he's a goon, or he's this, or he's that. He was, you know, kind of almost different than maybe you encountered with other players. I don't know. Have you thought about that too much?
No, I mean, he was part of the old school intimidation, yeah. I think that's part of what he was. Yeah. He did go to an All-Star game, and I heard that when he was at the All-Star game, every All-Star couldn't wait to meet him. Like, he had that kind of aura. And maybe it was because he was kind of a rebel off the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a persona. He grew up in Windsor, played for Detroit, and then later Chicago. There's more to him, definitely. But he was an interesting guy who could score and, you know, did well in the league. And by far, he was kind of the father figure in there as far as toughness. He would fight anybody. And he didn't have to oblige my fight. I was kind of the younger guy.
Yeah.
And he had done it all, but he did. So I've got a tremendous amount of respect for him.
I guess currently the NHL, well, not I guess, but currently the NHL is trying to crack down on fighting.
Yeah.
So what are your opinions on that topic?
I think it's still a place for it in the game. I think, obviously, you know, your best players need protected still. Cheap shots, anything like that, I think you need to be able to stand up for a teammate or whatever. And I think that's the thing the NHL's gone to now is you don't see so many of the heavyweights like Jody and whatnot. It's more of a team toughness. And I remember my last few years playing, it was, you know, the coach preached team toughness. That means, you know, we all going to stick up for each other. And then if, you know, you do have guys that are more skilled fighting now that are, you know, kind of hybrid players, like, you know, Jared Bull was one of them. It kind of changed the game a little bit when fighting was. I mean, Jared was actually a really good player too. He had a lot of skill and, you know, he could play all over the lineup if you gave him that opportunity, but, mm-hmm. you know, his role was mostly fighting, but, you know, you never lost a beat with Jared on the ice. And then, you know, you look at the Jackets now, I mean, they're probably best fighters, probably Nick Foligno, who's, you know, one of the most skilled and talented guys on the team, but he is just so tough that, you know, he's learned how to fight and take care of his teammates and himself. And so I think that's kind of the direction the game's gone to, just being more skilled. You know, four lines now in the game all can play, and yeah. that's the way it's gone. It's more exciting that way. So I think this brand of hockey is way more exciting for the fans. Keeping the fighting involved, I think, personally, would like to see it. I think it still needs to be there.
Jody, what do you think?
Well, I think there's a few people that are responsible for it, and I love the league's awareness of concussions. I think we're in this day and age, we have to live in a sense of reality where it's a real thing about concussions, and I know that the optics are terrible on the fight, so I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I blame the enforcers in the league for letting it get to this point a little bit, because there is an obligation. If I'm an enforcer today, the only way that I'm going to stay in the league is if I'm a bully to a guy, let's say for the Blue Jackets, a guy that's never fought, a guy that doesn't fight, for example, Wenberg. You have to be a bit of a bully to create that. And I look at guys in the league in that role who like that can fight and do have a presence. If I could have been just a player to score goals, that would have been great. Fight to get in the door, work my way up to the third or second line, forget the fighting, leave that to those guys and move forward. These guys are taking that option because they don't have to fight. And I think that's led to a bit of extinction. Now, is the league getting involved a little bit too much? They do break up the fights. If you do try to be a bully, you might get a penalty a little easier than before. But I don't see the chatter of saying, hey, Brian, I'm going to get you tonight. It's going to be a long night. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
In warm-up.
Yeah.
Just to get you that intimidation factor. I think that the guys that do it now have taken their option on that a little bit too much. And I think that's allowed it to kind of dissipate, if you will. So that bothers me a little bit. And I think that that's where that has, they've let it go. And I think the league will accept that gladly, which is fine. I do like the spontaneous fights, you know, but I do like retribution a little bit too. I like I'm a fan of the game. If someone in Pittsburgh did something to one of our guys last Saturday night, I can't wait to get to the rink on Wednesday when Pittsburgh comes to town to see who's going to get them back for us, our team, our city. So things like that is where I think it fits in. But I'm totally with the awareness. I think that protecting the players is the number one job here for the league and the players, their awareness. But I also think that there's an element that has to be on the enforcers and the players that play the game.
Sean, what do you think about the fighting and the lack thereof nowadays in the league?
No, I mean, I agree with both RJ and Jody. You know, I feel like it just kind of misses a bit of, I love the skill. I love the speed. I love the skill. I just feel like it misses some of that passion where it's like, this is my team, my city. Like Jody was saying, and I'm going to protect it kind of thing. I think of the one chance or a couple chances of like bringing more of the, not, I don't say enforcer, but the guy that can hold people accountable. Like I think of a guy like Tom Wilson. That guy can do whatever he wants out there, and he does. And no one, like, he doesn't have to answer for it. And so maybe teams like that player having success he's had, maybe that brings in, you know what, we need somebody to answer that guy. So maybe he kind of helps spur the movement back the other way, where then you need to get some more guys that can, you know, they still have to be able to play, but can also hold other players accountable.
That's a great guy to bring up, Sean. I appreciate that, because when you watch him play, and it's hard as a Jackets fan, when I mean, he's a guy that you just, oh my God, I hate this guy so much. But then when you step back and you take a view of his game and try to take your emotion out of it, you go, oh my God, this guy is a great player, because he has a tremendous amount of skill, and he also is frightening. And that's, I guess, what you're getting at is that's the new fighter, maybe, is the guy who, yeah, in his briefcase, he has the skill.
There's no element for him to be concerned. Like, there's not like he's going, oh, I better not do this, or Jody's going to come out and I'm going to have to answer for it. It's like, I'm going to go do this, and hopefully I don't get suspended. It's kind of like I guess, the biggest threat for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a top-line guy.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, he's a great player.
That is, doesn't need to fight anymore. And I'm not talking about him. I mean, there's guys that have worked their way in the lineup, and there's nothing there. So the intimidation, the passion, I think that's on the players to bring that back a little bit, to try it.
Well, I suppose it's like anything else. You have ebbs and flows. The game just sort of corrects itself organically, perhaps.
I think it's an option. Yeah. I think it's an option not to fight, and it's easy to take it, and it's not questioned. In the locker room.
Okay, I got you.
Like, why didn't
you
fight
that guy?
No
one's going
to
call you out anymore.
Yeah, what are you doing? You know, I think that there's an element there that, and maybe we'll see it. And it's not called for, but I think it's lacking a little bit. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does, because, and Wilson is exhibit A, because there are things that he does that are beyond the pale. As a fan, it's like way over the line. And it's hard for the players to enforce against a guy like him. And you do. You wait for the league to, okay, you're sitting for 10 games. And he's back in 10 games. He's doing the same stuff he was doing before. You know, so it's obviously not getting through to him.
But he's figured it out, I think. I think last season, I think that really hurt him, this last suspension.
That was 20, right?
Yeah.
20 games. That's long.
And
yeah.
I think his game has changed a little bit, you know, a little bit.
But what's he like? Have you ever talked to him?
Super guy.
See, you keep telling me that. I gotta have enemies, Joe.
You know who's great too? Brad Marchand. The
There's
guy
not too
you
much.
There's not too Are you okay, Brian? No. Are you okay? Man. Are you all right?
I want to pay that guy. We owe him so much. Wasn't he the guy that launched himself at Josh Anderson in the playoffs?
No.
Who was that?
That
Who
was,
did that?
That was the defenseman.
That was dirty.
McAvoy?
It was Charlie McAvoy. You're right.
Thank
yes.
you.
That was dirty.
There's not too many bad guys in hockey.
No, there's not.
There really isn't.
Well, I can invent them if you want me to come up with a list.
If you hate them that much, they're doing their job.
Yeah.
That's the biggest compliment you can give those guys.
Yeah. Well, as you guys look back at the game and your fights, you know, it's got to hurt. Are you left with like, oh, man, my cheek hurts today, or this hurts, or that hurts? Or at the time, were you left with injuries that, like, oh, man.
I got cut every time I fight. I mean, I had stitches. I've had so many stitches.
What's the most stitches you ever had?
I had 90 in my forehead from one
90?
Fight, and I won the fight.
I could kind of see it there.
It was like I'd been in a knife fight.
Yeah.
Well, I think I've had over 500 in my face.
Wow.
But you know what? No pain, just amazement. I mean, I look back at some of the fights and think, how did we do that? I mean, even the mentality prongs at RJ, the mentality we had as a fourth line, and you didn't play on the fourth line for a few minutes. It was like the old school coaches wanted us to go out like we were heat-seeking missiles. It was like, just go out and make noise and let everyone know you're there and come back. I mean, prongs, we mixed in a few goals, but not many.
I came into the league with
couple,
Philly.
Couple accidents.
Yeah, accidents. That's right.
I came into the league with Philly in the minors and in NHL, and the fighters that we had in that organization. And so this was, it was an eye-opener from the beginning. I mean, we had guys that, I mean, it was 3-4 fights every game. I mean, it was, we had, in the minor league, we had a line of Todd Fedoruk, Josh Gratton, and Ben Eaves. It was like...
And then who'd you have on? You had Lassard on defense too, didn't you? Yeah. Or some, was he there, Frankie Lassard?
No, he wasn't there. But at the
Commandant Lassard.
I think there's even somebody else I'm missing too. But it was just like you just did not mess with us. And then they, I mean, the fights that when it did happen, it was just, it was unreal. So it was an eye opener when I came, when I started.
Wait, that was the worst team in training camp in the minors to go to, Philadelphia. You'd look at the roster. This is before the internet. You'd look at the roster and you'd be like, I hope there's 19 of these guys that aren't playing tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you knew those guys were fighting to fight you. They were like fighting each other. Like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have this guy first shift. You get this guy. And there's two of us over in the locker room for Syracuse going, just not even talking because we're just like misery.
Huh. They're like pairing off before the game. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Those guys were putting Vaseline on, getting ready for.
Vaseline? Didn't even Vaseline. Oh, so you yeah. can't grab them.
Oh, they probably had it on their jersey too.
Yeah,
on their
hair, yeah, for cuts. Oh, and yeah.
They would
boxers.
Cut their jerseys so their jersey would come right off. Oh, they had all the tricks, man.
I think on that note, we need to start wrapping things up here, gentlemen, because we still also want to talk a little bit to Steph as well here about the great news she has about the project.
Yeah.
Jody Shelley, thank you for joining
my
us.
My pleasure.
RJ, thanks for joining us.
Sean, thank you very much. Out there in sunny California, is it nice out there today?
It is. I'd like to lie to you, but it's about 80 degrees, no humidity. We're spoiled out here.
All right,
I'm getting softer by the day.
Attaboy.
Sean Pronger's won the fight of life because he's out in 80 degrees and no humidity every single day of his life. He is the winner. Congratulations, Sean. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, we're joined by Steph Grieger. Steph.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah.
There's fighting in the movie. unless you change the script, unless you cut the fighting.
No. We don't want fighting.
No spoilers, but what's the biggest challenge in your mind to presenting a hockey fight in a movie that you want to look real?
Well, I think the initial challenge was just the story of it, which actually RJ, who is a consultant on the film, fixed for us when we had a bunch of players in to audition them. And then they came back and we were doing some choreography stuff to go through. And we sort of caught in the beginning, like, oh, if this kind of hit happened to the captain, there should probably be a response, like a fight, like Jody was talking about, like you respond to that if somebody's messing with your captain. So... technically it comes down to story. So we wanted to make sure that the fights were in and they were in alignment with what the story actually was. The second part, of course, is stunt and choreography. So when you're thinking about production and production dollars, you know, it's more money to stage fights because you need stuntmen and you need choreographers. And
I got a guy right here.
I know. We have Jody. Let's bring Jody on. Yeah, for sure.
Stunts. Stuntmen.
That's you, Jody. Did you know you're going to stunt this?
Just do it for real.
Yeah, so you know you take those kinds of things into consideration when you're safety of the actors and safety of people on set. So you're trying to be careful about those kinds of things. So it needs to be integral to the story.
On skates, which
is
not easy.
Not easy, yeah.
So since we last spoke, you have some momentum going as far as shooting.
Yeah, we do. It's nice. It's nice when that starts to happen. But, I mean... Everyone can tell you, RJ especially can tell you, because the hardest part of getting the movie made is development, and that's where you're raising the funds, and we're right in the middle of that, and you get a lot of like, oh, I know so-and-so, and I know this guy, and oh, I've got the money, and oh, I don't, and that happens about 150,000 times, which is normal. So you just kind of get used to it, but yeah, this time we definitely feel like we have some momentum. There's a guy that I met when I was in New York at the New York Film Academy, and he's done several feature films. He's a line producer, and he has some good relationships with one of the streamers. And he feels that they are going to be very interested in the film because it's hockey, and also because it's historical, because it's the first feature-length film in United States history, at least, that will be directed by a woman, a hockey film. Mm-hmm. So it's historical in that way, and the fact that there's a female involved and that, you know, it is about hockey, he feels pretty confident that the package we have might ring some bells over there. So good. That would be great. And so
I saw what you did there. Ring some bells.
Ring some bells.
I got it.
So we're excited. You know, that could lead to some good things, which would be great to have a streamer pick it up, and then we can go right into production, and then we have automatic distribution. So
that's awesome. Well, onward and upward.
Onward and upward. So here we go.
All right, John.
All right.
Step outside.
You know what? No, I'm going to pass. I'm going to be one of those guys.
Smart man.
I'm certainly not messing with these guys.
Well, I'm not either. No. But
I feel like I've learned a lot. And what's fascinating to me, I'll take away you going for drinks with a guy that you fought like an hour and a half later. And just, how's the wife? How's the kids? No big deal.
No big deal.
I love that.
Zero.
I love that.
It's just business, man.
So fascinating. So fascinating. Well, Jody Shelley, RJ Umberger, Sean Pronger, thank you for being here. This was a lot of fun. John Milano,
yep.
Steph Krieger. I'm Brian Phillips. This has been Behind the Puck, and we invite you to check out subsequent episodes. I know we're going to be talking about playing hurt.
Oh,
hopefully
is that next?
In the future. We'll see. We need to find a particular person, track him down, and bring him in here. You guys know what I'm talking about? When I say playing hurt?
Playing guilty.
That's what
that kind of hurt.
Playing guilty. Playing guilty. That's what I meant. See, I have so much to learn from you guys.
That's okay. You'll be well-schooled by the time this project's over.
Pronger has an excellent story on playing guilty. It was in his book, Journeyman.
Yes.
Okay.
It has to do with a certain... Gretzky might be in that.
Nice.
Well.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Well, that's kind of what we're cooking up next. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, fellas, and we'll see you next time.
Another Behind the Puck is in the books, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I would like to thank once again Brian Phillips, Steph Krieger, and of course our wonderful panel of RJ Umberger, Sean Pronger, and Jody Shelley. And as I start to wrap things up, just want to throw out a little contact info for you. If you want to get in touch with me and let me know if you enjoyed this episode or whatnot, you can do so a couple different ways. You can shoot me an email. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter account is @PVDMVP. And you can even drop me a line over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That's, of course, facebook.com/PVDcast. And please, 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 don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe no matter where you're listening to this podcast, whether it's at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or one of the various other platforms that is carrying it. Just again, don't forget, rate, review, subscribe, tell some friends about it as well. We would appreciate it. And with that, I'm going to close up shop, so I will chat at each and every one of you later.